Enthusiasts, I'm Priyanka, and welcome to Tech Recruiting Unfiltered podcast, a podcast for gaining all the insider knowledge about the top recruiters in the tech industry. On this week's episode, we have Harshika Upadhyay with us, who's the Senior Vice President, Talent Acquisition at IDFC First Bank. As a professional with more than 1.5 decades of experience, she brings a lot of knowledge and insights to the table. Welcome to the podcast, Harshika. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Priyanka. Thanks for having me on your podcast. I'm sure there are many more to come, but this is the first one for me. So I'm very, very, you know, happy and delighted to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you here as well. So how are you doing today?
Good. I have a statement. I always tell this to people. I'm always good.
Yeah, that's really great. And to start off, can you tell us a bit about yourself, how you got started in this industry and what drives your passion for it as well?
So I happen to have very close to 2 decades of hiring experience now. What led me to recruitment? See, I honestly, you know, did my college, my background is computer science engineering. So I actually speaking wanted to be a coder, a programmer.
Right. Yeah.
But then as the fate would have had it, I went for an interview and somebody told, we happen to have a requirement as a trainee in HR. So would you want to consider that? And I was like, no, but I came here to give interview in, for a coder's job. And I was told that uska to pata nahi kya hoga. I mean, they were not really sure about my coding capabilities and all that.
Okay.
So I started working. I thought that point in time, I was still studying, doing a couple of certifications and all that. So I was like, okay, it's a good opportunity. I would not need to take money from my parents and let me start working. And that's how I ended as a trainee. And 6 months into it, I got my first promotion. I had 2-member team under me. And then I was like, I had that 3 idiots moment. I don't know if you have gone, if you remember this or not. Ban bhi gayi hoti toh bahut kharab engineer banti main.
Yeah.
So that's how I landed up in recruitment. And from that time onwards, there's no looking back, because I think I'm meant for recruitment, because I get, my energy through hiring. I tell this to people, very often that I can hire a couple of people in my dreams as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, amazing. You've had quite an interesting journey. And I think your journey has predominantly been in, tech companies. And I think you recently moved to banking sector. So, can you tell us a bit about the switch and how has the experience been so far?
Yeah, it's great. In fact, it was very, I in my wildest dreams would not have thought that I'll be joining a banking organization. And when this opportunity came, of course, majority of my part is, again, I'm hiring more and more technology people only, like developers, architects and all.
Yeah.
But then I had never thought, in my about 20 years of journey, close to 20 years, I have always worked in IT organizations. And, the culture, I've worked in small organizations, product organizations, services companies. But then banking is a very, very different ballgame altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Again, number one, you have a lot of policies, processes and compliances, things that you are have to follow, which is, of course, for the benefit of greater good, because any banking organization, there are a lot of things that can go wrong. So, yeah, I think that's for good, number one. At the same time, they also ensure that things go as per the plan. Yeah, so far, so good. I'm really enjoying my journey for sure.
Yeah, great. And, I was going through your LinkedIn profile as well. And I think few of your areas of expertise, really caught my attention. You've worked quite a bit on the niche and, volume hiring as well. And I have seen a lot of companies like struggling with it, as it like comes with many, you know, challenges. So like when it comes to like niche hiring, I think one, there is like the fiercely competitive market and, you know, the absence of the talent when you need it. And also like mainly the frustration of matching the perfect candidate to a role, only to like discover that the person is no longer available. When you're hiring for a niche skills, so what are some factors you like always consider, and what strategies have been like successful for you in, you know, identifying and attracting the most qualified candidates for those roles? And what are some of the like major hurdles you have faced?
Yeah. So my last to last organization was a cloud security based organization. Now, as difficult as it sounds, it is like very difficult to find people. I mean, I was global talent acquisition head for this organization, and hiring people was difficult in US and UK. Hiring people in India was super difficult because when I started, there were very less people in cloud security domain completely. So the first thing is, A, number one, how to reach out to people is very important, because you would not find such people with such niche skills on job boards. So it is very important that you kind of find out better avenues to find such people. Social media recruitment is important. Finding passive candidates is important. Now, social media recruitment, everybody might think, you know, LinkedIn is a great tool, but honestly speaking, it's not just LinkedIn. Other than LinkedIn, also there are many other places like Stack Overflow, GitHub, Glassdoor, and there is an organization. When it comes to my last to last organization, which was called as CypherCloud, there I hired people from, you know, there's an organization by name Crypto Organization, where cryptology people were there, PhDs and all that. So yeah, there are many of such things that you have to do. You have to be really creative and understand the domain, understand where you will find such people. There are sometimes some certification organizations that maintain the database of people who are certified in certain technologies. So I have been there, done that kind of everything. It's very important to find those. Can be sometimes groups, it can be sometimes some organizations. So yeah, I think it's very important when it comes to reaching out to candidates. The second part is when you're able to establish a connect with them, when you're able to reach them, it is important to engage them in the right manner, because you would not find many such people in the market. So it's very important then when you reach out to them, your connect has to be really strong. You have to kind of establish trust, and you have to kind of become their trusted advisor. And why would they trust you? They would trust you when you understand their career aspirations, right? Because these people are, they have clarity of thought. So if you just try to sell the job at hand, then probably that's not the right approach. Now, you might say that this is counterintuitive, Harshika, what are you talking? But that's exactly what it is about. You have to, you know, establish that kind of trust that you are their trusted advisor, and you would not take a wrong decision. So if you think that the aspirations of the candidate and the JD that you have at hand are not matching, you will have to tell them that I don't think this is a perfect match for you. And that's how you perhaps, probably it might not work with that particular person, but if you establish trust, that person will give you a couple of references. And that's how, because it's a very niche skill and niche domain, that's how you can establish your own brand. And I'm not talking about organization as such, I'm talking about a brand as a trusted advisor or a recruitment professional who can be trusted. I think that's very important.
Right. I think you've put it greatly, and you've like mentioned a couple of very key things, you know, getting like creative ways of doing the outreach and, you know, the right engagement, and especially building the, you know, very good relationships with them and being transparent with them. I think I found them really nice. And so like, how different does this whole process get, say, when you want to hire at scale? Because there are many like factors that can like substantially impact your success in the talent market. So when it comes to like volume hiring, how does IDFC First Bank approach it? Like, can you walk me through the process from start to finish?
Yeah, sure. So, although I'm very new in the organization to really, you know, talk about organization as a whole, But then, as much as I understand about volume hiring, A, number one, it is very important that your strategy should be a mix of sourcing from multiple places. So you cannot just depend upon job portals. You cannot just depend upon vendors. You cannot just depend on anything. So it has to be a mix and match of employee referrals, business referrals, recruitment drives. And then, of course, you have your job boards, posting at the right place. Maybe, you know, hiring sometimes contractors. Because many a times you're not able to get the desired numbers. There are a couple of organizations that are ready to outsource a few people. So it has to be a mix and match of everything. Your source mix. You can source from five different places, but when it comes to volume hiring, it's all about the numbers. So you have to somehow manage meeting those numbers, and for that it has to be at scale. So it can be as you can organize meetups in your organization, and you know, in such meetups you get good or probably you can organize an event, can be a virtual event or in person event, and in such events you get a lot of database people who come, they register themselves and all. So these are some of the sourcing strategies. At the same time, it is very important. I mean, it's not about niche or volume hiring, but it's very important that as an organization, your employee value proposition, which is called as EVP, is very unique. And not just unique, it's very comforting to people who look at your organization as a future prospective organization, basically. Now, what I mean by that, whether it is a niche hiring or whether it is volume hiring, the moment you talk about an organization, the first thing that everybody wants to pay attention, other than, of course, I understand that people are more interested in compensation and all that, but then the second thing is the culture of the organization. And it is very important that the culture provides that kind of environment to you, whether it is in terms of growing along with the organization, whether it is in terms of learning, or whether it is in terms of financial stability. Like for example, right now in market, there is lot of there layoffs that are happening. Organizations are, people are having that kind of anxiety basically, right? But even now, what I see in our organization, I don't find these kind of things. I know about IDFC that even when COVID was going on, when there were layoffs, people were deducting salaries, IDFC paid variable and the bonuses completely, which is a very good thing, which is a very big thing. That the market is going through so much of up and down, and still the organization is honoring each and every cent of what the organization has promised. So this kind of gives an assurance to a person who is already there in the organization and kind of establishes the culture, and the good word spreads. I mean, you can brand your organization multiple folds, but then what happens is the reality check happens only when the people join the organization. So that's where the culture is really important. So your EVP has to be so strong, whether you are hiring for mass, whether you're hiring niche, which we are doing both at IDFC right now. There are many technologies where, say, about banking, where we need people in thousands, we hire in thousands. And then when it comes to niche, again, we hire very quality resources and all. But then I think the EVP is one particular thing that plays a very important role.
Yeah, I think you've given some great, you know, like key focus areas in terms of the entire hiring strategy, as well as it comes to like the volume hiring, and IDFC is doing a really great job as well. And I want to understand a bit more about the trends in volume hiring. So can you like share with us some insight on the current trends of volume hiring, and how has it evolved over the past 1 to 1.5 years, and as well as like how has it impacted your company's recruiting efforts?
The trend right now in volume hiring is very much, A, number one, the focus is more on, you know, we might say that because it is volume hiring, we can compromise on the quality of the hire. But then I don't think that happens most of the time. People are very particular even when it comes to volume hiring. So it's important that though we are hiring for the masses, I mean, we are hiring in big numbers, but then it's really important that we pay importance to the quality of the hire. Again, when it comes to big numbers, that is one important thing that people generally miss, that just because it is mass hiring, let's go ahead and hire whosoever is available in market. And that is something that I really pay attention towards. There is a trend that was there that people used to have drives earlier, which is like walk-in drives and all that. And fortunately or unfortunately, now walk-in drives don't work too much. Right? Earlier, it was a very big trend that you just put a job on Naukri and then you ask people to work for the job. Such kind of things, they don't work anymore. Now, even if it is a volume hiring role, also people want, there has to be a scheduled interview. They need to understand the job description. They need to talk to the recruiter. They need to understand each and every bit. And that's when the interview is scheduled, people like to come for interview. So that is one important thing that has changed post COVID. I've not seen many walk-in drives anywhere, and again, I think it saves a lot of time also, because many a times there will be, when you organize walk-in drives, there will be people in thousands who used to come. I mean, in my earlier organization, that has happened when we have spent the entire day just screening the candidates who to allow to write the test. But then I think that's something, the trend which I don't think is there now post-COVID, for sure.
You've put it in a really fantastic way and like really, you know, highlighted all the trends you have seen over the time. And I think you're also involved a lot in the global recruitment. Like you said, you're headed the, you know, global recruitment. Are there like any methods you can share with us that have like worked well for you when you're hiring globally? And I think skill gaps is often a major concern among global hires. So how have you been able to like solve that problem and, you know, minimize the skill gaps?
First things first is you need to really understand what exactly is the skill gap. I have seen many hiring managers and many people, they're very, very particular in terms of what they want. Now, you might spend 2 months in finding one good guy, but you might find within 15 days a guy who's not so good because that person never worked on the kind of environment that you are providing. And he or she might pick up the remaining things in next 15 days. There have been cases where people are particular with the versions of the technologies also, when we know that that particular version can be learned in 15 days of time. Right? So, A number one, asking hiring manager, asking anyone to, you know, find the right match. I'm not asking them to compromise on the quality of the hire. I'm asking them to understand which skills are trainable and which skills are mandatory. If there are some skills that are mandatory, then we should go ahead and 100% find people with exact matching skills. But if there are some skills which can be trained in probably say 2 weeks, 1 month or something like that, then we should not make them a part of your mandatory skill set. So Peter Schultz, he said that hire character and train skill. So that's something which is very important, because you can hire the best of the people, you can make the best of the strategy, but then any strategy that you have is as good as the kind of person that you have hired, right? If the person understands what he's supposed to do and understands the strategy, then you'll have the best solution. So I'm not saying that you should have gaps in skills, but at the same time, you should be able to differentiate in what is a mandatory skill and what is a preferable skill set and what can be trained and what cannot be trained.
I completely agree. And, you know, I think sometimes like the pool of qualified talent itself is like very limited, and you'll end up choosing the best person you can find at the time and not the, you know, best fit for the job. So how does like finding the next best impact the business? And so from your experience so far, like, can you like share a few proven practices which you have found successful to find the next best, and also how you train them to become the right fits?
Correct. Any job or any GD that you have, you cannot find a tailor-made guy for that particular role. If you find a tailor-made role, that person must be working in your own organization. Somebody who's worked on the same kind of platforms and the same kind of environment and all that. It's very difficult. It's next to impossible, okay, finding such a person. Which means that you have to look beyond what is there available on the platter, okay? Which means it's important to look at the learning curve of the people.
Yeah.
Now you would say, how would you judge learning curve of a person? There's something called as GCA. Now GCA is cognitive ability. Now what is cognitive ability is put people into such situations where your current engineers or your team members, they are working. It's a similar environment, basically, where your people are working and you throw the same problems at that person and that the person will come up with innovative solutions. And that's when you will be able to gauge the cognitive ability of the person. It's not just about thought process. It's about whether the person is able to reach to the crux of the problem.
Yeah.
And there's no right or wrong answer in such situations. But what is important is how the person is able to reach to the solutions.
Yeah.
Are there multiple solutions? And what are the solutions on the basis of how the person has reached on those solutions? What I mean is, it should not be something that is based on the intuition of a person. It should be on the basis of the facts or the data that is provided. That is very important. Now, I would not really call these people the second best for the job. I would say that these people have the kind of learning curve which will lead them to the person who we want, basically.
Right, yeah.
Also, if the person has been there and done that, then what is there for that person in that job other than probably, you know, a better organization or a better brand name and better compensation? It's very important that the person should look up to the job as a place where he can learn and grow also. And growth is not always in terms of just climbing up the ladders. Growth is also when the person is learning on a daily basis and growing in terms of the skills and the ability to deal with problems and come up with innovative solutions.
Completely agree with you. You know, you've put it beautifully as well. And yeah, I think you've given some really good you know, practices for people to try out. And before we wrap up our conversation, I wanted to ask you, Harshika, so your experience in the industry goes back to like more than two decades now. So can you tell us, you know, a bit about how the industry has changed over time? And can you share with us any lessons you have learned that have helped you gain new perspectives and changed your recruiting approach?
Yeah. So when I started, you know, you would not believe my first job, we used to give ads in paper.
Okay.
And
yeah.
And you know, looking at those ads along with dates for walk-in and all that, and that too, my first job I was in Hyderabad, so we used to give ads in regional Telugu papers, like Eenadu and all that, and people from all districts of Andhra Pradesh would come over, and you know, that time Telangana was not there in the system altogether, so, and then there used to be crowd of thousands of people, and so. From there to today, where we are talking about creative ways of hiring people, we're talking about market mapping, data insights, and hiring through social media and professional websites. So there are a lot of things that have changed, but what has not changed is, I think, the connect that you always have with the person who you are hiring.
Yeah.
And at the same time, the respect that you get from the people that you hire, these are two things. And this I realized very early in my career that number one, I mean, even now, I have hired many freshers in my entire career. And any of that fresher, you know, if meet them anywhere, whether I'm at movies or whether I meet them at mall, have such fond memories. And the kind of respect that they have, you know, I was a fresher and I hired a lot of freshers, and I meet those and they still have that respect for me, though I am same age, but then they're like, you hired me, ma'am, and all that. And I was like, yeah, I was myself a fresher, not really that I was too experienced. But then, you know, the kind of impact that you create in a person's life, I mean, I can't really explain it in words, right?
Yeah.
Somebody who's really in dearth of an opportunity or right job, and you help that person, though it is your job, but you know, the respect that you get from people is enormous, and the connect that you have with them, it's very important, whether you are hiring through in the era of giving paper ads and all that, or today's world also. It's very important to have that connect with all the people who you talk to. I have seen, you know, many people who do not pay attention to their hires. and or probably their prospective hires. But I think when you hire one person and if you have that kind of connect with that person, it becomes a part of your journey. I mean, it is not just that the moment I change a job, there are some people who immediately call me and say, hey, you know what, if you have anything, hire me, I'm looking for a job.
Yeah.
So that is the kind of trust people have in you, because they know that if you ask them to come and join an organization, you will not take a wrong decision for them. And that's a huge thing, that people trust you for their career change.
Yeah.
So
true.
I think this is the learning that I have gathered in these 18 years of my career.
Yeah, I think you've come a long way, and you know, you've had an amazing journey and like made an impact in a lot of lives, and you've made a lot of very fond memories as well. And like you said, yeah, relationships is the key in recruiting. That brings us to the end of our conversation. It was super fun chatting with you, Harshika, and I love the insights and the tips you've shared with us today. So thanks again, you know, for joining Tech Recruiting Unfiltered podcast.
Thanks a lot for having me. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Tech Recruiting Unfiltered podcast. We hope you enjoyed as well as learned from it. To gain more such insights, join us for our next episode. You can follow us on LinkedIn at Technical Hiring Showcase page and our website technical-hiring.com to receive all the updates. That's all for this episode, folks. See you next time.